irregardless, I still, you know, care about you.
Do people still use that word?
Mike did on the show.
Is someone mad at that, or I missed a lot of it?
I posted about it and people got mad. People got mad because I said it wasn't a real word. And then I said, yes, it is. It's a real word. It's in the dictionary. No. It's in the dictionary. I'll explain on the show.
Unfortunately, people have used it so much that they added it as a non-standard adverb, which...
Exactly. That's what I want you to explain.
But irregardless, LOL, lols, BRB are also in the dictionary.
Thank you.
Like, our dictionary is evolving, and I think... that's triggering for some. I'm going to add you in that category. It's like we're adding words, like what used to not be a word, mm-hmm. and the reasons for it not being a word. Once they slam it in a dictionary, the argument goes out the window.
Well, I mean, like irregardless, it's born out of two words, right? It's irrespective and regardless. And it's people combining them for whatever reason to try to make themselves sound smarter. But they're really meaning generally regardless, not irregardless. Or sometimes they might mean irrespective, but irregardless as like a contraction word or whatever. They say it to try to sound smarter, but what actually ends up happening is they sound dumber to
only those... the people that know that, though.
Yeah, okay.
Or and only, I admit... only people that care. For me, I don't give a shit. Use irregardless. It's I hear so much slang every day.
Slang,
I hear
I don't
so much
mind.
Misuse of words every day.
I don't but mind
it's like,
slang.
It's like in different languages though, how there's like there is formal words, right? And there's non-formal words, and then there's like in Japanese I'll say it, and there's different dialects. So some words
there are formal words, not there is
right.
formal words.
There
see,
are
see, I'm just a banana
the data
asshole.
Are you know, but no, but I mean in real conversation between people, I don't think personally I would pick on that. If I wanted to, if I hated that person, and in your case, they're my cracker eater, I would pick on everything. And I think that's where, that lies is like, well, they use this word wrong. And everyone's like, okay, grammar police, who gives a shit?
Honestly, you know? Like, well, okay. So I am a bit of grammar police when it comes to stuff anyway. Just, I mean, that's just sort of is.
Well, the nature of your job is writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
So you have to know how to write
yes.
technically, and you have to know how to write well. Me, I am on that path of learning how to write well. And I think that like the nitpicking only makes people more aggravated.
Well, that's why. So like the word pedantic, right? It's not just being like nitpicky about words and grammar. It's being annoyingly so. Right. So by me saying, oh, irregardless, it's not a word. Da, 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 that's me being pedantic because I'm being an asshole about it. It's not just that I'm saying, oh, by the way, Hanakawa, that's not a real word. It's me being a complete asshole about it. So, I mean, yeah, it's my job to write properly and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That in and of itself isn't really my issue. It's like, irregardless is one of those words to me. It's not every word that's used incorrectly. I am a bit of a, you know, a grammar police about certain words, and that's one of them. And in that it just gets my hackles up. Like I get what's the word? Disproportionately annoyed about it. Like given what the quote unquote offense is, my annoyance level with it is like skyrocket above where the offense is, if that makes sense. So it's like, I'm going to get hate for this too, but it's like, I dislike Coldplay. I more than dislike Coldplay. I hate them. I hate them in a disproportionately irrational way. So that's my feeling about the word irregardless.
Makes sense. but added to the person using it, which I think was Andrew in this case.
No, it was Mike.
It was Mike. Well,
either one. So,
right. it could come off as condescending. Yes, you know,
absolutely. I recognize
when that when that's what you picked up out of the entire conversation was the misuse of that word, which it could have been a producer anyway writing it, you know.
Well, it, that's not the only thing from that conversation, but it was one of the things, you know, and I posted about it. Right. But of course, Mike, I said, of course, Mike is the type who would use it regardless. And, you know, that you guys who have been following me for a long time know that, like, my sort of, you know, whatever, my sort of, I would say, sense of humor, I guess. But most people commenting agreed. They laugh about it, you know, my favorite fake word, this and that. There was a group of people who recognized that it's a word in the dictionary, but that it, like you said, it's non-standard. And that just because people have been using it, people, it's gotten in the dictionary. So people can be, you know, it can be explained what it is, define what it is. I mean, that's what a dictionary is, right?
Well, especially when someone foreign hears it, mm-hmm. right? They need to be able to look at something to go, okay, it's a word, but only certain types of Americans use it.
Well, it would confirm her assessment.
I mean, I've heard it on the news, you know, consider very educated mm-hmm. news anchors say mm-hmm. irregardless. And yeah. I wonder if it's just going to be one of those words that are absorbed into the vocabulary and is accepted.
I don't
Oxford
know if it's
and Stanford
there.
Are probably never going to take the non-standard out of that. Like,
yeah,
they are stubborn.
Yeah. I mean, just because it's quote unquote in the dictionary doesn't mean it's a real word and should be used. Some words, you know, are like BRB, LOLs, all of those kinds of things are in the dictionary and definitions are provided of them because that's what a dictionary is. I don't know enough about linguistics and all of the things that, you know, what makes a word qualify for dictionary status. I don't know. I just know that irregardless is, as they say, a non-standard word. But
like,
here's
and it's going to be a lot of like, and there's controversy around it. And that's good. That's good that people are having opinions about it because groupthink is very toxic too. Mm-hmm. And if you think that it is a word and it's no big deal, good for you. Argue your point. It's almost a no one's right conversation.
Don't use it. I don't care.
Use it or don't use it. But if you use it in my presence, I'm going to have this impression of you. And that's kind of, and that's where it kind of ends in my case. And I have probably used that word a handful of times in my life. And usually it's if I'm angry and I'm not really thinking about like how grammatically correct I am yelling
that
at somebody.
That makes sense. And I'm definitely not the asshole that's going to correct grammar in the middle of an argument because that's a special kind
of
asshole.
I'm submitting you to r/. Am I the asshole for picking on people that use the word irregardless? I'll type it up and see if he responds.
I wouldn't use it in the middle of an argument because I mean, use like I wouldn't be policing.
Well, it's not in your vocabulary, right? And you purposely will not use it.
No. I meant I wouldn't correct somebody who used it in the middle of an argument. Like if I was arguing
that would cause a divorce. Is
I would make fun of him later after we made up, probably. But yeah, it's one of those things, you know, and I've certainly, you know, before people come after us in the reviews or comments and tell me that I'm not perfect. No, I know I'm not perfect. I recognize that this is just one of those things that drives me batshit crazy.
Everybody is a subject matter expert in some part of life. So you get to be the subject matter expert on irregardless usage and application. You get a gold badge. Congratulations.
One, it should never be used. That's it.
Very, very narrow subject matter.
That's it. That's all I can do. You know what else really annoys the fuck out of me is every single male on 90 Day Fiancé this season.
Yeah, everyone?
Well, no.
Okay. Let me take a mental tally.
Ziad isn't annoying me.
Ziad is not annoying me.
Correct.
He's actually making me laugh.
Yes.
Jovi's just clueless.
He hasn't grown up. He hasn't learned what many of us have learned. And that is that you can be like selfish and other people, if you're in a relationship, may not appreciate that about you. You know what I mean? Like, I have been in relationships in my younger days, and maybe my not so younger days, I don't know, where I have been the Jovi. And I learned through those relationships going through problems and ultimately ending because of that, right? So you learn, live and learn, and you move on, right? And you sort of, oh, maybe I, you know, some, you have, like, if you're lucky, you have a friend who tells you you're being kind of a, you know, selfish asshole. I think Jovi hasn't quite got the memo of how to be in a relationship yet. Specifically a relationship with Yara, maybe?
I don't think, or relationship in person, because they've had this relationship, yeah, but it's been long distance. He's been able to go out with his friends. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. He was going out while she was sleeping or whatever, and right, he was there when she was awake. So now that she's there physically, mm-hmm, and is demanding his time, you know, then I think it changed a little bit.
Yeah. Where
his friends are probably like, well, you guys have been dating for this long. Why now does she want to, you know, tell you not to drink? And I think that's a bit of a made up plot for the show, because every time they post on Instagram, they're drinking. So I'm like, it doesn't matter, you know, if they're having a good time and drinking, but
right,
it's
right,
kind of like, totally obviously you guys are able to enjoy the greater parts of life. You're traveling, whatever, good for you. But I guess it just annoys me to be like, don't drink anything. You can't have anything to drink. And it's just like, okay, we're posting, look at our drinks. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. I don't think Jovi means any ill intent. I don't think it means he doesn't love Yara. I don't think anything like that. I just, as the season has gone on, it just seems like he is sort of clueless. Like you said, he's kind of just clueless on, you know, how do you have a relationship? And I mean, in that you're sharing your time with somebody else, and it's,
well, and Hallie has a kid now on the way, so
right,
I guess it's a buckle up kind of deal.
Figured out.
I did, you know, say that Zia didn't bother. I guess one thing did bother me, and that was the whole, and we don't know if this is really how it happened, but the whole can't marry or can't be with you, or I have to marry you ASAP.
Oh yeah, before Ramadan, or we can't, right, be together during, like, Ramadan.
At first I was like, well, I'm really mad that he withheld that and didn't say anything. I'm like, but wait a minute, Rebecca didn't tell him that she was technically still married for the entire before the 90 day season 3 season. I think she told him on what, the second to the last episode.
Yeah.
It was, so I mean, he could have waited until the first day of Ramadan and said, oh, you need to leave.
Peace out.
I have a secret, and I don't know if I tell Rebecca or she'll be mad. I do like the scene where he, and this is from the last episode, where he was playing the video game.
Oh, and she's looking for her ring.
He's like mad mashing on the keys. And as a gamer, I'm like, you're not playing a game. Like, this is all stage play. He's just like, he's clicking the top button like 50 times. I'm like, what the hell are you playing? Like, that's not even Mario button. I don't know why I would notice something stupid.
Yeah, you totally would.
See, that's where my narrow field of subject matter expertise, there you go, is.
I would have been really impressed. But you know,
she's running around the house frantic, sweating, and he's just like, I know what dynamic they're trying to do is that he's the young, immature, yeah, playing games while she's frantically looking.
And he's like Bobby and leaving with his remote, he trying lost to like play.
Right. But I'm like, you lost it. You keep looking. And then when she tells him, he's like, it's okay. She's like, you're not more upset than that? I'm like, weren't you outside just worried that he would be upset?
Yeah.
I don't
pick one.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What other guys are there?
Andrew, Mike,
I would say Brandon. Ryan, but he's out of the picture.
Mike, Brandon. Yeah, Mike and Brandon.
Brandon. See, I don't want to go on like a man bashing parade here.
Well, specifically my issue with him had to do with his, he was like, I'm always doing something wrong, you know, and she wants me to be something I'm not. And that is to me like, okay, well, you know, you're always doing something wrong.
You want her to be a fucking farmer.
So. Right.
She's a go-go dancer. Okay. Like.
So, I mean, she just wants you to not be, I don't know, like a decent man. I don't know. And I'm not entirely, I don't even remember at this point what her specific issue was with him. Yeah. So, but what was interesting about that whole, their storyline, the only interesting thing that really happened was mom suggested due to coronavirus and this and that, and the other thing that they get married, they move up their wedding date. And Julia doesn't like it, but she agrees that it's probably necessary. You know, it means she doesn't get her special date, which was the Mother's Day weekend thing.
Yeah. And the only problem is that, like, yeah, you go, okay, it's just this one time, but it's kind of not, because now their anniversary is that day. So that's like, that's a permanent compromise if Mother's Day is such a big thing for her. Now, how it could backfire for Julia is if they decide to combine those two celebrations.
But she's not getting that day now because they moved up the day. So this is my point being that, or that, you know, Julia didn't like moving up the date because it means she doesn't get that special date. But you know, make a good point about this. But also, you know, their anniversary is going to be this new date, but she agrees that it's probably necessary in light of, you know, the pandemic and everything. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's get married before you're not allowed to do it at all. And whatever.
Right. Yeah. I was painting this scenario of like, what if, you know, it's like, don't be too stubborn because you'll get what you want more.
So, but mom in this scenario gets what she wants, which is them not to get married on Mother's Day weekend. So
I wouldn't do that. And that's really awkward. Like, I was born on a weekend that was dedicated to a holiday. And it was like, it's kind of awkward when you guys are exchanging gifts for different reasons. You know, just, here you go.
Yeah, for sure. So that was the only thing of interest to me in their story. The only thing, I mean, everything in this episode was it was like last week's episode just extended. It was really more of the same story, right? We got a little bit more of why Amira didn't go to the United States. They showed some of the text conversations from Andrew.
Oh yeah. You think those were legit?
Yeah.
We zoomed in. I think they were too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everyone's opinion is that he's kind of an asshole, but like it.
Right.
So reading, it didn't make sense. I'm like, does he not make sense when he messages all the time? Because it was like, you got this in 5, 4, and then
boom. Counting down. And I don't have the time or I'm whatever.
Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you so anxious about? And I don't know.
Yeah. Agree. But you know, you, not that you were team, you know, Andrew or anything like that, you've made it very clear you were not a team in this scenario, but it's, I don't think it's just the edit in this. It's, you know, I mean, if they're showing the actual text conversations and that's how he's talking to her, I mean, she's having a legit panic attack about the enormity of everything. And that's his reaction to her. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is so weird.
So then we have Mike and Natalie going back to them, circling back to them. And we have, I mean, I guess it technically is spoiler because it wasn't on the show, but it's been out there in social media so much now at this point that I would hesitate to call it a spoiler, is that somebody, a Redditor, ran into Uncle Bo. I allegedly ran into Uncle Bo, and then but then Uncle Bo gave an interview in Touch Weekly. So this information, the information that they found out was that yes, Mike and Natalie got married, which, you know, we've known, but that they split up shortly after that and she moved out,
apparently. Yeah, so they put the time frame of less than 1 year of marriage they separated. And now we're assuming she moved out, even though the kitchen, like I said before, looked similar.
Right. But I say moved out because of that quote, that Uncle Bo quote, when somebody asking if she was going to come back and he was like, God, I hope not.
Right. So, yeah. So she is gone. Wow. Okay. He made it all the way to, what was it? Us Magazine?
In Touch Weekly, I believe.
In Touch. Okay. I'm like, which freaking magazine was it? Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a
big. Yo, Uncle Bo.
Leave it to Uncle Bo to say, fuck this. And go to a magazine to confirm it.
Do you think he went to the magazine, or do you think the magazine came to him? And
they probably came to him, but any other cast member, any other cast member would be like, you need to talk to the TLC person.
Bo doesn't give a shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
In Touch Weekly probably threw some money at him and was like, hey, will you confirm this? And he's like, hell yeah, sister, I will.
They had to be that, he had to be that fed up to even say anything. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. Because they had the there was someone that ran into Uncle Bo. They were the one that released the information on Reddit.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure In Touch was like, get us in contact with him. If he's going to open his mouth, to get him now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Right, right, right.
So yeah, as far as we know, they aren't together anymore, which could explain her bizarre solo cooking streams. But someone is recording those.
Yes.
She posted one. Today, yesterday, and the camera is being held by somebody.
It's clearly not a selfie.
It's not a selfie. So I'm like, she could have roommates, whatever. Maybe her mom came down. I don't know, but
good point. Yeah, we don't know who's recording them.
Who's holding the camera? Who does she have captive?
Oh my God. Well, see, now that's a whole other subplot we didn't even consider.
Oh dude, I have a whole sequel planned out.
Oh God, are you writing
someone hostage to make cooking videos? Yeah.
Are you writing a 90-day fanfic?
Yeah, but the clean kind. Okay, before anyone gets excited. If you want the bad fan fiction, they all have OnlyFans. Enjoy that. Much as you like. For about $20 per
pop. Oh my God, that's hilarious. So we have like one, maybe two episodes left, and we have yet to see, we have to see how they turn around this storyline from irregardless, he still cares about her, can I have the ring back, which we'll talk about in just a minute, to walking down the aisle saying I do. So write some fanfic about that. How do we get from here to there?
How do we get from here to there? I don't know.
Other than the TLC is in the contract. We have to get married.
Probably. They're like, look, you can't leave because they'll take it from 13,000 an episode to 9. If we don't seal the deal, you won't be here to get half of it. And she'd be like, oh, you know, Mike, you have a good point there. I'll come back and get married. Right? What? I don't know.
There's just, I mean, there was a whole lot of nothing that happened this week. So, I mean, we got to talk about something. That
was the biggest complaint to me because I originally was like, the day of, I never watched the day of. I always watch Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, today. And it's almost like, there nothing happened. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, nothing. You're like, nothing happened. Yeah. And I was like, really? What am I supposed to talk about then?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the rings. We had two situations where the guys asked for the rings back. Andrew asked Amira to mail the rings back, and Mike asked Natalie for the rings back. Now we know that Natalie tells Mike basically to fuck off. It's my ring. My understanding is, I think there was some stuff posted earlier this season that showed receipts for Amira insuring a package, mailing the rings back. So I think Amira gave hers back and Natalie did not give hers back to Mike. This has generated a lot of, I wouldn't say controversy, but there's a lot of discussion around this, whether who is like, should you give back the ring on a broken engagement? Should you not? is what's the law regarding this situation. This triggered a whole bunch of conversation I saw on some Facebook groups that I'm in, and of course on Instagram. And then of course, people's personal feelings. I got a lot of interesting commentary about, you know, FaceTime Andrew while you're flushing the rings down the toilet mirror, kind of thing. In a broken engagement, who keeps the ring, or do you give the ring back?
I believe, and this is like from old tradition, so I don't know the legal side of it. I believe that the engagement ring is considered a gift, whether or not the marriage actually happens. Because technically, you don't have to wear the engagement ring when you're married. You could just wear your wedding, your marriage band or mm-hmm. ring or whatever. But the ring itself, the proposal ring, is considered a gift, I believe. But that could just be tradition. So, you know,
I think I think that's tradition. That was my belief. That's sort of my, you know.
And then that's as far as it went, because mine was a little different. When I got divorced, I kept the ring.
But you're already married.
It wasn't even a question. Yeah. I didn't even like go, oh, and I'm keeping the ring. You know, it just wasn't brought up or expected. I don't know. But yeah, marriage did happen. So that promise or whatever was kept. I don't know what happens when there is no marriage.
Well, okay. So I looked this up from a legal perspective. And as I suspected, because family law is governed by states, by the state you're in, marriage and divorce law is all by state. So does like the question of ring ownership. So a lot of states, I didn't read a lot of the history behind this, but I believe a lot of the history came from like, it's a contract to marry, right? Legally, a lot of contract law principles were applied to this particular situation. So that's where some of this comes from. So in contract law, there's this concept called consideration, which is something that you bargain for. I'm giving you something, you're giving me something. You bargain for this exchange of something, whatever it is. And that's consideration. That's what consideration is. And in this case, the ring is a promise to marry. Like by accepting the ring, like you're promising to marry, you get a ring in exchange for the promise to marry, something along those lines. If the marriage doesn't happen, that means that that promise wasn't fulfilled. That means you can give back, you have to give back the consideration. So there's that theory, meaning that, okay, so if it's a promise to get married and the marriage doesn't happen, okay, we give it back. The other thought is that, no, it's a gift, and regardless of marriage, and if you actually, you know, you have the wedding or not, and it's the person's to keep. Another school of thought is that whoever broke off the engagement is not entitled to keep it. So
interesting. So if the guy broke it off, then you keep it. I mean, is there a legal?
It depends on the state. The other thing that you have to think about too is in some states, the if it is considered a gift, everybody, I think all the states say that once the marriage happens, it's the person's, whoever, it's the receiver's ring, regardless at that point. They're allowed to keep it at that point, do whatever they want with it. They can give it back if they want, but at that point, it's the question becomes is in a broken engagement, right? Some say it would become like marital property, subject to marital property rules in that state. So like I said, I didn't go too deep into this. So, you know, it would depend. There is no one law that applies across the country. It would depend on that law in that particular state. Although I think, what was it? Montana says it's the person's unconditionally, no matter what, I believe it is.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, if the ring has the sentimental value, like if it was the guy's or woman, if she proposed, if it was like a ring that's been in the family mm-hmm. for a long time, I could see emotional attachment. But usually it comes down to it cost me money and I want my money back. Mm-hmm. But what people fail to understand is that a diamond depreciates faster than a car rolling off a fucking parking lot.
Yeah.
Like as soon as you click buy, that diamond does not, it, you never resell it back for what you purchased it for.
Right.
Ever. So there's very little to get back other than if you're trying to be vicious too and say, yeah, I got my ring back. You don't get to keep it. You know, if they don't want to marry you, then obviously it doesn't hold that much value anyways. But it seems like it's like a, what do you call it? It's not bargaining. You're not bargaining anything, but you're just being spiteful, right? The person mm-hmm. who keeps it is being spiteful. So either way, you know, if someone asking for it back without it actually having true value to them, other than I'm going to try and pawn it, or it, you know, or in Tim's case, he'll propose to the next person with it, you know, hey, maybe that's what it is. Hey, I want to propose to someone else with it. I've already purchased an engagement ring. If you don't want it, I'm going to use it for the next person, which is even terrible.
It's just terrible, but whatever.
It happens, whatever. Yeah. I would want someone's opinion on that. Like, is it actually terrible to ask for a ring back? So if Mike asked for the ring back and then used it on his next proposal, is that a bad thing to do?
I mean, I would say it would depend on the receiver of the ring.
The receiver wouldn't know.
If the receiver...
So it doesn't matter what... You know,
then what are you gonna do? You know,
she's gonna be like, oh my god, I saw this on that season of 90 Day Fiance. It's the same ring,
yeah. And I, it's important. I'm not giving any legal advice, we're not giving legal advice here.
I don't have legal advice to fucking give. This is my opinion advice.
I don't practice family law. Get you someone who does practice family law if this is a real legal question for you, and it may be depending on the value of the ring or the sentimentality of the ring. The concept that I saw quite a bit is that it's, you know, this whole it's a conditional promise, right? It's a conditional gift, meaning there's a presumption that you'll get married if you accept the ring. But regardless of after a divorce, if after you get married, all states agree that the recipient keeps the rings. So it depends on, you know, what are the rules? Is it considered a conditional gift? What's the rule in your state? Is it a conditional gift? Is it unconditional? Whatever. I've never had a broken engagement, so plenty of broken marriages, no broken engagements.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my opinion. It's hard. I mean,
yeah, well, I think it would be opinion. I mean, law would come into it in certain circumstances. Absolutely, I can see that.
If you really wanted to go through suing for a ring, though, I mean, in that case, I feel like the person who gave the ring would probably win, because the judge would be like, why do you need to keep it?
Well, I don't think it's even a why. Like, so there's this case when I was Googling and stuff that said, a man proposed to his girlfriend, presented her essentially a $20,000 engagement ring. After accepting the proposal, the woman then refused to sign a prenup, which then led to the couple calling off the wedding. When the man asked for the ring back, the woman refused and the man sued. The court ruled that the engagement ring was an inherently conditional gift, meaning that there was a presumption that you will get married if you accept it. Regardless of who called off the wedding, the purchaser was entitled to get the ring back. But that was a case out of Michigan. And again, it depends.
I mean, in the worst case, I would treat it like a marriage thing. Sell it and you guys can split it.
Yeah. And I think that's...
You can get a whole $300 for your...
Right.
Point carrot ring. Who knows what it is. But, you know, it's like you just don't get anything back for those things. So,
but I think when you're given a $20,000 engagement ring, I think that changes.
That makes a difference. So if it's, you know, 30,000 Tiffany 3-carat platinum, you know, that's a down payment for a car.
Yeah.
But you can't return it to Tiffany. So I don't know what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I don't think they take them back.
I don't
have a refurbished line? I don't think so.
Oh, God. Imagine that. Imagine if
I could.
Did.
Dude, discount rings for people?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You don't matter, like, if it was on someone else's finger for
somebody,
a few
years.
Yeah,
somebody else. Yeah, somebody not a party to the relationship may not care if it's a quote-unquote cursed ring.
A cursed ring.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Well, isn't that what they say? Like, don't give me that cursed, dirty engagement ring with the bad juju on it.
No, it's not bad juju. It's the juju you bring into it.
Right.
It only has bad juju if you make it that way. So don't bring bad juju.
There's the solution right there.
There's a solution. Don't be an asshole. Think positively. As you accept that engagement, in case he's proposing with a bad juju ring.
Didn't we see this on Sex and the City also, where Steve proposes to Miranda with the ring he helped, or with the ring Miranda helped Aiden pick out for Carrie?
Ooh, so, I don't remember.
Yeah. So in that case, Aiden was going to propose to Carrie, was going to. She found the ring ahead of time, and it was a terrible ring for her. And it turns out that Miranda had helped Aiden pick it out. Now, apparently, Aiden goes later and switches the ring. Samantha helps him in all this stuff and helps gets a new ring. But Steve then comes into possession of the ring. I don't know if he bought it. I don't know. Bought it off Aiden. I don't know what he did. But he jokingly proposes to Miranda with that ring. And Miranda's like, why would I accept a proposal on a recycled ring? Because she knew it was recycled.
Yeah, I mean, if they know, yeah. But if they don't, then fair game.
How about this? Just don't get engaged.
That's not the answer.
No, I'm sorry. Speaking of, my wedding dress arrived.
Oh my god. That segue into the last 5 minutes where we talk personal stuff.
I know, right? So yeah, my wedding dress arrived. Here's the problem I have is that I can't zip it up in the sense that I can't get my arm back there to zip it, right? Because like I have limited mobility in one of my shoulders because of my fake shoulder.
That's what you have baby step fronted for.
Well, she's not here.
Or a hanger.
So, no, it's not the kind of zipper that has a hole in it that I can do that. Like it's, yeah. So, and
I'm really entertained thinking about you using one of those like dino gripper things that old people used to pick up off the floor.
I was wishing I had something like that. And like, I mean, I could get baby frauded is here. So I could get him to help me zip it up to see like how much more weight I need to lose to fit into it or whatever, you know, because if it's a little, I feel like it's going to be a little snug around my rib cage.
What if hetero life mate just put his arm in the room and felt for the zipper, and then you just kind of like he zips it up and then you slam the door shut. But I don't know how you're gonna get out of it.
Yeah, then we have a problem, and then I'm just stuck in the dress.
Then you'll know when you've reached the right weight because
you'll fit it. Guess this is it. I'm just living in this dress now. This is how I'm dressing.
That's quite a situation you have there. I would say wait until you have tiny assistance.
Yeah,
and then
I gotta wait. Funny.
Yeah, I gotta wait for baby stepfather to come back so she can help zip it up so I can see and make sure that it's gonna fit. And you know, I have actually been losing some weight, and I have this coach. I don't know if I told you this. I hired a like weight loss nutritionist, personal trainer person to help me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so helping me in the last run up to the wedding to figure out all my macros and make sure I'm fitting, you know, everything and stuff. So I just need to lose a little bit more around my rib cage and I think I'll be happy. And then I'm working out on my, you know, Peloton and all that stuff, doing my arms, trying to get my arms into beach wedding ready. yeah, we have like a caterer, we have photographer, and that's about it. I still need like to figure out what kind of flowers. I mean, it's a casual beach wedding. It's not like I need a ton, but I need to figure out like what kind of bouquet I want and what kind of dessert we're having. And we got to figure out who's coming because it's like really small. And I got to figure out do I need a cake that feeds like 20 people? Do I need a cake that feeds 40 people? Like where am I at here? And I really like dessert. So I really want a lot of desserts. And it's probably more than anybody will be able to eat, including myself. So like all the things that I want. So I have to like narrow down my choices in desserts. So I don't know, stuff to do, but like 3 months. I'm getting married in 3 months and it's
tick tock.
I know. And you're supposed to be designing a mask for me.
Oh, I am, huh?
In case anybody needs a mask.
Oh no. Your poor guests.
Like we're really gonna have like that many people. But and I think, I mean, honestly, at this point, the people who are coming, I think everyone, I mean, obviously I know them all personally, and they're gonna be like, I'll know if they've been vaccinated or not. You know, right. I'm almost fully vaccinated. You got your first vaccine. I got my first vaccine. We're on our way.
You're getting there.
We're on our way. I wish we had some sort of sense about the science of when the kids are going to be able to get vaccinated.
Yeah, but that's a whole different rabbit hole.
Whole other rabbit hole. Yeah. So, you know, what was really interesting this week is 90 Day Bears All. I have so much to say about that. And if you guys want to hear it, you can tune in to us on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/thefraudcast. We're talking about 90 Day Bears All over there, which is shown on Discovery Plus. We've had a couple new people that have joined us since last week. And I'm going to, let's see, we have Anne, Bonnie, Rihanna, and Tabitha and Susanna, I think. Thank you guys for joining us. I look forward to having you guys over there on the Patreon. We have a Facebook group. We have a Discord. If you're interested, patreon.com/thefraudcast. Otherwise, I think that's it. If you like what you hear, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. We'll talk to you next week. We are the Fraudcast, so we're dumpster diving, so you don't have to. Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.